It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in. Well, chugging on
down Memphis. And welcome to The Car Doctor Show. This is The Car Doctor, Kevin Raywinkle, along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. The show is brought to you by UJ Chevrolet, Mobile's oldest GM dealer, Alabama Pipe and Supply, and Ed's Seafood Shed.
Fantabulous Seafood Shed, yes. And the home of the Fight or Die Pancake Breakfast.
There you go.
This Saturday at 0800 to 1100. Pancakes and sausage and...
You know what the price on that is?
$10.
Is that all you can
donation?
Eat?
Donation.
The fight or die, is that describing the line to get
fight
in?
Fight or die, yeah, that describes the line to get in. Now, this is actually the rowing team. It's the vets that's going to row the second team. We had a team last year that rowed.
Mm-hmm. Rowing across the Atlantic.
Across the Atlantic. That's 300, that's 3,000-something miles. And I know last year they did it in 54 days. They're shooting for 30 to 40 this year. So
right.
But it's two Marines aboard, so they're saying that there's no damn way the Army can beat them. So we're going to see.
But you know,
they're
going to prove that wrong. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're a little bit at the mercy of the wind and the tides running out there, though.
Oh, yeah.
The Marines don't take that for an answer.
No, you just improvise and overcome, man. What you talking about?
You just get out, stand on the water, and lift the boat.
Well, you get out and you get a rope over your shoulder and pull that sucker, man. What you talking about? Marines, they can walk on water.
Forget rowing. We'll just swim.
Marines can walk on water. You know that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Just ask them.
Yeah.
So
I went to that class at Paris Island, but I fell asleep, so I didn't get all of it.
Didn't get all of it.
Didn't
leave there with everything?
We'd been on an all-night march. I was fried. Yeah.
More seriously, Tom, though, they're trying to raise money because there is some cost involved in this rowing
Charlotte,
race.
It cost right at $20,000 just to register those four guys in that race. And then when you consider all of the you had to buy the new oars. I don't know what all that stuff costs, but they didn't look like they were made out of pine.
Plus food and
oak. I would think they're carbon fiber like the boat. The boat is like $250,000.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
But now they were able to use the boat again this year, and they hope they can use it again next year. They're going to try to get 3 years out of it. But even then, we still have like $150,000 worth of
expenses. Didn't
that
have a funny name for that boat?
Whoopi.
A Whoopi boat.
Whoopi boat. Right.
W-O-O-P-I?
I believe it's B-I-E. Whoopi.
Whoopi.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But it's awesome. Look it up on the internet, fightordie.com.
And they're doing this for a cause?
It all has to do with the guys that are – they're all two of the guys that's on this trip have Purple Hearts, Combat Purple Hearts.
Yep.
But they all have been diagnosed with PTSD, and two of them with TBIs. And they're utilizing this trip to test all the stress factors and how it relates to PTSD and how they act and react under all this stress of all this rowing, because they'll be rowing 12 hours a day. They row 3 hours, on 3 hours, off 3 hours, on 3 hours, off 3 hours. So that's 12 hours out of 24 that you're rowing. Last year, those guys averaged 32 to 42 pounds that they lost individually, even though they were eating like 5,000 calories.
So this is kind of like giving these guys a new mission.
Well, it is. It's like it's proven to the point that even though you have these illnesses, even though these guys are wounded, they have set this as a goal, and they're going to go do it. And they're going to show other vets that if you just have a goal, set your mind to it, even though you may have some afflictions and some damages from the war efforts that you took in, that you could still do it. Just, get up and go do it. Go make it happen.
Well, the guys and girls at Ed Seafood Shack and Panini Pete, they're big veteran supporters anyhow, and it's coming up this Saturday?
That's this Saturday at 8 to 11 o'clock.
You think they might have sugar-free syrup?
I don't know about that.
I might have to bring my own.
If you got to have sugar-free syrup, I guess you better bring it, Charlie. Because I told him what I wanted was some molasses.
Yeah, I hear
you.
So
I want some of that, you know, some molasses. Like
some
we used to work.
Sorghum.
Yeah, sorghum. We used to bake on the farm, man, when you grind that sugar cane down, get all that juice, and then start boiling it off.
That sorghum's so sweet it'll curl your toenails.
Ooh, what you say, baby? Hey, you know what? That's get good some eat. Good homemade biscuits, you know, and get you, you know, soak them in that, you know, that sorghum.
Tom, it's been a few hours since supper. Let's get off of the food.
No, hell no. I want to talk about the groceries now, man. We're talking about groceries.
That's right.
I can't help it if you hadn't had nothing to eat all day.
Oh, no. Marguerite made me a pretty good supper tonight.
Well, that's something different for you.
I had steak and boiled potatoes with sour cream and baked beans.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
That sounds like...
What's wrong with that?
And applesauce and chocolate pudding.
That sounds like... Charlie, what does she want?
And peanut butter cracker snack.
No, that ain't what she wanted.
Diet Coke.
What kind of remodeling does you want done on the house, or
well,
do you need
see,
a new car or something?
We're getting ready to replace all
Son,
the
when
windows.
They start,
all the windows.
But they can
the
start
house.
Cooking those steaks and that.
That's right. That's right.
Oh,
there's an ulterior motive somewhere.
Them. Yeah.
Hey, you're gonna love this, Tom. She grilled them this afternoon whilst I was taking a nap.
Charles.
Get that picture.
No, I know there's something she wants now.
Right.
Yeah, that's something. She's wanting the kitchen remodeled, or she
now,
wants a new roof on the house, or they like $2,000 worth of landscaping or something.
Something.
When they start doing the grilling and cooking and then let you take a nap,
at
are you kidding
time.
Me?
Hey, trust me when I tell you.
I know,
that
you trust
don't
me.
Happen every day.
Okay, yeah. There we go again now. Oh, that's where it's at, Kim.
That's right.
That tells me
that there's an
by the night, before the night's over, or in the morning early, there will be a request.
The other shoe will drop. So.
The other shoe.
You're not, yeah. That's when the shoe's going to hit
yeah,
the floor.
I felt kind of funny when I woke up from my nap and everything was packed up.
Uh-huh. You blowing that smoke on us. I don't
tell
even
you what,
think
I better,
that happened.
I better hush because she might be
she
listening.
She might be listening, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my Lord.
Well, I trust everybody stayed nice and cool last week and, you know, had no issues with air conditioners or cars overheating or any of that stuff. And this,
hey, mine's going to work better this coming week. It's only going to be 90 degrees.
I was going to say, it's got to work better.
Kevin, ever get any cars in hit by lightning?
I just so happen to have three of them in the shop right now.
We have had some severe storms.
I had one and actually could see where the lightning either went in or come out, don't know which. It hit the drive shaft.
What?
And the left rear tire, or right rear tire,
wow.
Excuse me. So it...
So you don't know where it went in the tire or whether it went in the drive shaft.
I see a mark on the wheel, and I see a mark on the drive shaft.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, which is a, you know, just a
well,
kind of a circular
to get
black.
On the drive shaft, though, yeah. It would have to jump.
Well, and you know... All the pictures I've seen of lightning, it almost like it comes from the ground and meets somewhere else,
right.
You know. So it was jumping arcing underneath the truck.
And well, you know,
it has fried everything in
the
truck.
Were the people hurt?
Really?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Anybody hurt in the car though? Or
oh no,
it,
no,
the car
there was
just
nobody
parked.
In it. It was parked, but
are y'all going to try to fix that? Or you think the dealer? Are they the factory's going to let you?
It's
try?
A Ford. Yeah, oh yeah. I mean, the factory let us do it. It's a 4 or 5 year old Tahoe. It's going to be expensive. It's not going to be a cheap deal, but it's still well under the value of the vehicle. So yeah, we've fixed
or the
it
price
pretty
of a new car. Truck.
Yeah, I mean, it's
where would you? That being said, where would you start on? Just I mean, is there a group of modules or basic computers, mini computers that you would just arbitrarily go ahead and get?
Not always. I mean, I'll go ahead and I attempt to get a data line up and talking, you know?
Okay.
I'll sit there and mess with it and try and isolate some things and jump
some
over
of the
some
electronics
computers.
Still work?
Not much on this one. I have had the communication sit up and talking on certain modules. I've replaced the engine control and the body control module and that, and have had to bypass other modules to make those talk. The biggest problem now is what we run into is this is a car that's new enough, is not a it's a push to start button car, not a key, key. It's a truck.
Okay.
And so sometimes it just doesn't do anything when you hit the button. So you're not actually just turning power on and sending it somewhere. There's logic that's actually a module that's got to come on and turn on all these components.
Which something's got to activate.
Yeah, which makes it interesting if they're not talking to each other. So it's going to be pretty intensive trying to figure out everything.
This is really kind of weird, for an old codger like me. And you start talking about, I was working on the car and I was trying to get it to talk to this one and I was trying to get it to talk to that one. I'm going like, wait a damn
minute. These cars been talking to us for years. You just wasn't listening.
That's I'm not on that wavelength. I can't hear them, though.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break and let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back after these messages. Place called Hamburger Dan. I stuck me a quarter in the jukebox. I played the song The Truck Driving Man. And the waitress, she brought me some coffee. I thanked her and I called her back again. I said, that old song sure does fit me. Cause darling, I'm a truck driving man. Pour me another cup of coffee. Cause it is the best in the land. And put another quarter in the jukebox. And play the song The Truck Driving Man.
All now, Johnny.
It's the Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
Well, I left Kentucky back in 49 and went to Detroit. And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle. I'm Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106.
They are welcome to join our conversation.
Absolutely. But before the break, we were talking a little bit about lightning strike vehicles. It can be challenging to get some of these things back up and talking. When you're talking about a vehicle that has this one, I think if I remember right, it has five different communication lines on it, what we call data buses, which – each one has its list of modules that are talking on those lines. There's some crossover between lines.
Wait a minute. So you've got five lines. It's kind of like a tree that has, all the power comes out, and then it gets to a limb, and then there's five or seven limbs there, and then you've got all the other limbs off of it. So it is, in other words, you have five separate points of communication that is feeding 25 or 30 modules.
Right. And, it's kind of like, just say if you have five separate businesses going, okay? And one business has multiple departments and all that have to communicate with each other inside. Well, then over here you have another one doing the same thing. So it's communicating with a bunch of other departments, and this one's communicating with a bunch of departments. Well, all these companies have to work together because, they're maybe producing the same thing, which is us going down the road.
Right.
Okay. So
keeping
they
air
have to blowing. Go. They got to go back and forth and talk to each other on a regular basis, but they don't have to be dedicated to each other, like they are.
In other words, they're separate company divisions, but they're tied together.
Right.
As one company.
As an example, say we have on my high speed data bus, which is a communication system. I have my engine control module, my transmission control module. I have my body control module, fuel pump control module, and
that is like the five major components of the vehicle.
And the anti-lock brake control module. Okay. All those are hardwired together. They have two wires that basically you have an in and out on both module on every module and makes a big loop. It's just sitting there, data running.
Would you come wire my house?
I think you.
Yeah.
I think you could wire my house.
Could probably make it happen. Probably
I'll shut up and let you go ahead.
Hey, you know, with these smart houses, that could be coming.
I'm telling you.
I couldn't handle a smart house.
But then you have.
I'm not smart enough to handle a smart house.
Your communication system. Well, your entertainment system in the vehicle, which is your radio, amplifier, the displays and the clusters and this
CD
kind of stuff,
changer,
and the CD changers, all that kind of stuff. You know, all that has to talk together, but it also has to talk to the body control module.
Uh-oh.
You know, to know when to do what or whatever, and so it's also wired in. So the body control module on these is one of the master modules in the vehicle.
What is it, BCM, they call it?
Yeah, body control, which is
BCM.
And it will actually sit there and it'll have my high-speed bus on it. It will have my low-speed data bus on it. It'll have the most bus for the entertainment system, which is basically a higher-speed data line, but it's a very small current run through, so it may have eight different wires coming out of it for data to different modules and different systems, and any
school
one part
is
of
in
that,
guys. School is in.
Any one part of that module can go down and bring that part of that system down, and anywhere on that system, if you have part of that data bus go down, it will pull all the modules down on that. On
really?
That line, or may pull it all down.
Oh,
sometimes
oh,
it'll work,
okay.
Sometimes
just,
it won't.
I just thought of something. So is that when it sets a code?
Well, I haven't got that far yet to get the codes out of it. I got to get it talking well enough first. So.
Oh, okay. But then, but what you're saying is, though, that all of this wiring harness that you're now talking mm-hmm. about on these five or six or seven, you know, main lines.
Right.
They're all running on electricity, though. They're all running powered.
It's all low voltage. It's computer talk. It's ones and nos. You know, on off, and it's basically say a 5-volt reference line that you know an O is 0 volt, a 1 is 5 volt if it's a 5-volt line. So it talks in that manner and.
Ooh,
now
how it reads
that and how it interprets it, don't
yeah,
ask me.
I didn't go to that language
so,
class.
But it's the same thing as in computers. That's how computers
well,
talk.
Well, it is. It's, yeah. So it's actually talking in computer language.
Exactly.
You know, you guys have talked a lot about how much harder it is today for young men to, you know, get in under a hood of a car and actually fix things anymore mm-hmm. because of the technology. What you were just describing, Kevin, is that like a specialty area in your shop at UJ? I mean,
I know you have guys that
just do brakes, maybe, and guys that just do alignments or whatever.
Well, basically, my higher-end guys, you know, tend to do this kind of work.
Master techs.
Yeah, my master techs that can do any of it. You know, some of these I usually tend to do myself just for the simple fact that I don't need one of my guys tied up for 3 or 4 days.
Yeah, it's kind of like a detective
chasing these modules,
thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, you can't, when you're dealing with an insurance company, you can't just go in and say, okay, it has to have every module in it. Well, I've got to prove which modules it needs.
Right.
You know, so I've got to go in and I've got to isolate and do one at a time and go back and try and get each one up and talking, find out which ones won't, which ones will, and you know, replace them as I go.
But for young men that have an interest in electronics or computers mm-hmm. or electrical, this could be a career.
And if they also like cars and automotive,
right?
Yeah. Oh,
right.
Yeah.
Well, and that's where our business is going. You know I hate the term, but you know the old grease monkey image. That,
well, we're gone.
You know that's
well,
gone.
All the mechanics are gone.
You mean you don't have to have a jar of Gojo beside you every day?
You know you get dirty from time to time. But
I used to wash mine in kerosene.
Yeah.
Did that work?
Yeah. Well, you can use mineral spirits. You know, put a quarter transmission fluid
in.
That'd
be kind of dangerous if you were. Hey, that'd be kind of dangerous if you were a smoker, wouldn't it?
Oh, well, I've seen guys doing it using gasoline and smoking, but, you know, some of them are alive, some of them are dead.
So. Yeah. Some of them are smart, and some of them weren't.
Yeah, but, you know, it's you're always going to have the mechanical end of the vehicles, you know, the suspension systems, the transmissions, the, you know, of course, some of those are going to go electronic, you know, electrical before it's over with, you know, but they'll still have some kind of transmission fluid. Motors will have, you know, oil in them. They're going to be dirty. They're going to be running. If it's a gas burner, it may, or fuel, you know,
or
internal combustion rather.
Right.
But you know, a lot of our stuff's going electric.
Right. Right.
They've, I don't remember the year, but it's not that far down the road that they're talking about being the majority of the vehicles they build be electric. You know, and the electric vehicles have come so far from where they were a few years ago that, you know, that's a very, very viable, doable thing. You know, just to, but even at that point, you've got to be able to do the electrical and the diagnostic work and the computer work on these cars, you know, because it's just a huge part of it nowadays.
But it's sort of a specialty training. That's what I was getting at.
Yeah. I mean, you got to dedicate yourself to being that guy in the shop.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to, because you have to have all the training, and you have to have a thorough understanding of how the systems work. Once you get the thorough understanding of how it works, the rest of it, I'm not going to say it comes easy, but it comes much more easy or doable.
You have to learn and understand the basics and how the math works, and there's still math in it.
Oh yeah,
you know,
yeah,
and how the electrical, the basics of that electrical system.
Yeah,
and buddy, if you make a mistake, it can be costly.
Oh yeah, well, you know, and it's like anything else that you work on. If you're going to fix it, you got to understand how it works.
Right.
I don't care what it is.
Yeah. If you don't know how it works, you can't fix it.
Yeah. You got to know how it works to fix it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, same thing with electrical systems in these vehicles. It's very complicated, you know, and I had a friend of mine call me today from his shop that had one that I believe is lightning struck. You know, he started naming off all the systems that all of a sudden went down and all the problems it was having, mm-hmm. from alternator to fuel pump to body control, theft issues, mm-hmm. all this kind of stuff. I said, that thing got struck by lightning.
Yeah, it's lightning.
Yeah. It didn't just start happening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so if
you're
looking,
just hadn't found the spots yet.
Yeah, I mean, and a lot of times you don't see it. Mm-hmm. You know, this one, you know, I just got lucky and found the marks on it.
Right.
That,
well, if you know what you're looking for, I know that the first time I was looking for one and doing some, checking some salvage cars I didn't realize what I was looking for. Then I saw it, and I was going like, oh, now I sell that on a couple of other cars. So
right.
I had looked at cars that I didn't realize what lightning had gotten into.
Right.
You know? But right. Now, you know, if you really
now you know what you're looking
you
for.
You define that, and then you know where you're at.
Exactly. Sounds like it's time for us to take a break and let you hear from our fine sponsors, and we'll be back with the Car Doctor Show after this.
Give us a call.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106.
Hey, can I get a plug in for one other thing?
I don't know what would stop you now.
Well, yeah, I know.
You already opened your dang mouth.
Well, you could have just said no, and I would have just turned off my mic and crept over in the corner and curled up. Well, now that I've used all the time. No, I just wanted to mention, because we don't do it often enough, that we do a podcast for this show and every mm-hmm. other local live show that we do. At FMTalk106.5.com. You go to the webpage and look for podcasts and click that, and you just scroll down until you come to the show. So if you missed part of this lightning discussion we're having tonight,
that's right.
You can hear the entire show, see a picture of Kevin and Tom,
mm-hmm.
and if you're not discouraged, you can hear the show.
Oh, yep. Lord, they look into my picture, they're going to hang up.
Yeah.
And
when did they sneak in and get a picture of me? I don't remember that.
Yeah, I did that
on my cell phone when you weren't.
Oh, okay.
Undoubtedly.
And we finally got a call.
Let's see. Caller, are you with us? Hello, caller.
Kevin.
Hey.
Hey, I can barely hear you.
Okay.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like you've got a real good connection. Are you on a speakerphone?
No.
Okay, we're hearing you better now.
Okay. I've got an old 3 Ford F-150 4.6. I can drive it about 10 miles, and the brakes will apply by itself as you're driving down the road. It'll bring you to a dead stop. And I thought I might run that by you.
What kind of fluid did you put in it?
Well,
what kind of fluid?
Yeah, I mean, have you looked at the brake fluid or anything?
The brake fluid's full.
Is it good clear fluid?
No, it's kind of. It could do changes.
Yeah, when you pulled the cap off of it, was the rubber on the bottom of the cap normal size, or had it swole up or anything?
It seems to be normal to me.
Okay.
I mean,
you would know. You would know. It wouldn't be a question. So,
yeah.
If it was contaminated, that it would be about double the size of what it's supposed to be, and you would never get it to fit back in the hole again.
Right.
What do you have to do to get it to roll again?
Well, luckily, every time it's done it, I was at. But this last time, I was on Demetropolis, so I didn't think I was going to make it to the house.
Mm-hmm.
But I finally made it home. Next morning, crank up, drive it just as far as you want to. Just everything's just normal.
Right.
But every now and then, it'll take a spell to where it just... it doesn't pull at all.
Right.
It'll bring you to a dead stop.
What year was it?
Right. Well, you know, one of the things that I would look at first, you know, is the brake pedal coming all the way back up, you know, or is the brake pedal creeping down as you drive? I've seen a few of them in the past where the brake booster was bad and it would actually start pulling, that vacuum booster would actually start pulling that brake pedal down a little bit. And once it starts pulling down some, it doesn't have to go very far to start dragging on those brakes some. And as it drags, it gets hotter, and they drag more. So, so that is a possibility. The other possibility is the piston in the brake calipers could be sticking. Seen it happen a bunch of times. Some of those have the like a Bakelite plastic composite type piston, and they will stick at times. You know, other than that. One of the things you'll have to do is when it does start to bind up on you, I would start at the master cylinder and crack each line loose and see if it releases and starts to roll. And then work your way towards the wheel and say if you get down to – if you do it at the master cylinder and it starts to roll, it's a booster master cylinder problem, okay? If it doesn't break loose there and you go down and you crack the line loose before it gets to the rubber line and it hasn't broke loose, then you go down to the caliper and open the bleeder and it breaks loose, then that rubber line stopped up.
Right.
If you get all the way down to where you've opened the bleeder on the calipers and they have not released, then the caliper itself is bad.
Okay. Well, I sure do appreciate your help.
Okay.
I'll try that.
Yeah. You just have to kind of work your way down towards the wheel. Right. If you start at the wheel and it releases when you open a bleeder, you really don't know which component is the failed part. So always start at the master cylinder and work your way down.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay. I'll do that. Thanks a lot.
All right. Well, thanks for calling in.
But, you know, that's about one of the simplest brake school classes I think I've ever been to. But you know, you hear a lot of people have different opinions about how to check brake systems.
Right.
But if you stop and think and just go back, and a lot of times the stuff on these cars, we got to go back to basics. And that's where you were at with that.
Right.
You went back to the basics and you explained how to define where this thing would be. as to how it reacted as you right. broke each of those lines loose.
And you know, I see it all the time. People will immediately break the bleeder loose, and it frees up and it starts rolling. Oh, it's got to be the caliper. Well, no, that's not what's wrong with it, because you release pressure at the caliper, it started rolling, caliper's working, something's holding pressure on it. Well, but the only problem is you don't know if it's that rubber line or the mass cylinder or something in between,
right.
you know. So you always start at the mass cylinder, work your way towards the wheel, and once you figure out where it breaks loose at, it's the component right before that. So so it's always start top, work your way down.
There you go.
So, but we do have a caller online. Caller, you with us?
Yes.
Okay, what do we do for you?
I got a 97 Ford Ranger, and my ignition switch came out in my hand. How hard is it to replace it?
Depend on what all is bad. If it's out in your hand, that's the easy part. I mean, that makes it kind of easy, because you can actually just get a new one, plug it in, and it should be good to go. Because if it's come all the way out and all of the key cylinder and all has come out, as long as the housing is not damaged, which I doubt it is, more than likely it's the cylinder itself is kind of coming apart. You should be able to get one, plug it in, and good to go. Yeah.
Just buy a new one, stick it right back in.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, on that one, there's no learning, there's no theft deterrent or anything to worry about. You should be able to just plug a new key cylinder in it, you know, with a new key, and should be good to go.
Would he get that from a dealer?
You can get it from a dealer, or you can get it from a you know, auto parts place. So.
Yeah, 97 model, he's 20
yeah.
years.
Yeah, yeah.
He's 20 years, so it's not, you know.
Yep,
I'd go to you know, one of the auto parts stores and get that.
Right, right. Okay.
Okay, I appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Looks like we got another caller. Caller, you with us?
They got tired of us talking.
And turn your radio down.
Okay, my radio's down.
Good,
okay.
You're on the
all
air.
Right. What can we do for
you? I've got a similar question. Years ago, I replaced the booster on my 94 F-150.
Uh-huh.
And the brakes worked good, but I had a lot of stroke before you got to the good brakes.
Right.
I got finally got around. I got tired 2 weeks ago. I pulled the master cylinder off and I adjusted the rod that comes out of the booster.
Right.
Made it a little bit longer, and that shortened my stroke on my pedal.
Right.
And I drove it for 2 weeks. And Sunday I was driving down the interstate, and without touching the pedal at all, my brakes went on hard.
Yeah.
All by theirself.
Yeah.
And really hard. And they did it twice before I got home.
Yeah.
I'm thinking I just need to put, maybe I've adjusted that rod too long.
Probably so. Yeah. And that, you almost have to measure that. And it's really hard to measure because you've got a couple things to take into consideration. But that rod needs to be long enough to be at the master cylinder, but not pushing on it. That master cylinder has to come all the way back out to a neutral position for it to release the pressure, you know, that's on the brakes. If it's
uh-huh.
pushing on that master cylinder at all, the more you drive it, it'll have a little pressure on it. And then as it gets hot, the fluid expands and it can't, you know, make its way back into the master cylinder, so all it can do is start applying the brakes. Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, I would look close at your rod there in the booster, and I feel like you've probably got it just a little too long.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. I'm gonna check it out tomorrow. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
And that has to be scary though, if you're on the interstate.
Been there, done that. Have one customer years ago that had concern of, yeah, my truck vibrates. Well, okay, I'd go drive down the interstate and think, ride's good to me. Well, I'd go, they bring it back and said, no, you got to run it down the interstate about 20 miles. It was like,
oh my goodness.
Well, tires don't just start vibrating after 20 miles.
No,
I mean,
no,
so,
if anything, they just move out.
Yeah, so I went and drove it and made the big loop around Mobile. You can run a big circle around Mobile if you want to on the interstate.
Right.
And I make it down the road a ways, and all of a sudden it's starting to shake the steering wheel out of my hand. You know? And I realize that I go ahead and start pulling over just to, you know, check things, and I realize the truck's not rolling very well by itself.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. So then I look down, and I realize that the brake pedal's not all the way back up at the top, you know. And that was one of those ones that the brake booster had gone bad and was pulling the brake pedal. The further you drove it, the more it would pull on that brake pedal just a little bit and hold just that little bit of pressure on there to heat up the front rotors and make them pulsate.
Uh-oh. Mm. All right. Now, that being said now, that works off of vacuum, right?
Right.
Okay. Would more vacuum cause that or less vacuum?
Well, it would be worse with more vacuum, but it was actually the valving in the booster
was leaking.
Was not releasing the pressure like it should. When you let off of it, it should release the boost,
right?
To the mass cylinder. Well, this one was not releasing properly, and it was trying to boost the brake pressure like you're stopping,
right? Okay,
but you didn't have your foot on the brake pedal.
It was doing it itself.
Yeah, it was trying to apply the brakes by itself. It was pulling down on the brake pedal. So, but it's some of these things are, you know, oddball. You know, you see once or twice or three times in your career.
But you know that's why you're called the car doctor, because you have seen all of this stuff.
It's got something to do with being old
and done that. And it has something to do with the old.
Okay. I've been around long enough. I think I've seen. I'm not going to say I've seen everything because I see new stuff all the time. But
you've seen somebody that has seen everything.
That's right. That's right.
Do you still have your stethoscope?
I do. I do have one.
Yep.
I use it every week.
I still have mine, you know.
Yep. Well, time to take a break and let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back after these messages. More than what she's left me on the side of the road. The older she gets, the slower we go. But there ain't nothing wrong with the radio. She needs a carburetor, a set of plug wires. She's riding me around on four ball tires. The wipers don't work and the horn don't blow, but there ain't nothing wrong with the radio. I've got 60 speakers crossing my back dash. A little bobbing dog watching everybody pass. Dual antennas with me in the
It's the Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is the Car Doctor, Kevin Raywinkle, along with Tom Claxton. Having questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. And somebody must have been listening because they just called in.
Let's go to the phone.
Listener, are you with us?
Hello?
Yes, what can I do for you?
I need some advice on this dang car.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. I went to the Toyota place to get the sensors messed up on the back of the, what is it called, a hatch? What is that called?
The rear hatch or the trunk or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. What it's been doing is it starts to go down, and it gets about a foot from closing, and then it'll pop back up. And then you got to push it down. So I went there, and they redid it like 15 times, and they said, we fixed it. I got home, and it closed one time, and it hadn't closed since.
Right.
And I looked online to see, you know, how do you reset this thing, and the only thing I found was how to reset the height.
Right. Right.
That it opens. Well, how do you do it?
Well, my guess is there's a an anti-trap sensor that's failed somewhere. Most of these have a like a pressure sensitive sensor in the rear hatch, or it's in the moldings or something around. Ours are in, it looks like a weather strip, but it's a pressure sensor sensitive strip.
Okay.
That if you were to, say, get your hand in between it as it's coming down, it wouldn't go ahead and pull down and latch and capture you there, because it'd be kind of hard to reach around and unlock
safety
it again.
Feature.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My guess is that something like that has failed. You know, most of your independent shops are not going to have the equipment to be able to read those sensors. Most most generic type diagnostic systems won't get that in depth into some of those type systems, so it's probably going to have to be at the dealer. And my recommendation is to, you know, take it back to them, ask them about any kind of sensors like that. But I'd be willing to bet you it's something along those lines, you know, because.
And what did you call the sensor?
It's like an anti-trap sensor or.
Okay.
It's a pressure sensitive sensor. So like I say, if it's coming down and it senses something's caught in it, it's not going to go ahead and pull itself down tight, you know.
Okay. Like a garage door when it starts to go down.
Basically, and that's what it's doing. It reverses itself because it felt it sensed something in the way, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, like an elevator door.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what sounds like. You know.
I thought y'all, you know, would know what to do. I hate to go down there and sit for another day. I was there like 8 hours for them to try to fix it, and it didn't get fixed.
Yeah, and you know, I would probably try and make plans to leave it and see if they'd give you a ride home, do whatever, you know.
Well, I did that, but they didn't tell the driver, so he never showed up.
I would mention that to the advisor when you go back. And that way, and it wouldn't hurt to make an appointment ahead of time, too, and let them know that you're coming. And make arrangements for transportation before then, because, you know, everybody gets busy and things get forgotten. That's just, you know, I understand that's the nature of the beast. You know, we have issues ourselves, you know, and we try extremely hard for that not to happen. But it always seems to happen at times. But, you know.
Well, I know I'm not the only person on the planet. So, I mean, I'm very patient, but I was just wondering what is going on with this thing because it's driving me crazy.
Right. Yeah, no, I'm sure it's
without springing a wrist or a shoulder.
Right.
I'm trying to close it, you know.
I understand.
Well, thank you so much.
All right. Well, thank you for calling in.
And talking about sensors, a friend of mine that called the show a month or so ago about his car alarm going off at weird times and nobody around the vehicle, and you told him that it probably was one of the door sensors or the trunk or the hood. It turns out it was, I think, the passenger door. But what he's done, at your suggestion, and I'm just mentioning this in case it happens to somebody else, he now mechanically locks the doors to his car instead of using the electric locks.
Right.
And the alarm has not gone off since.
Yeah. And basically, he's just not activated the alarm system on the car.
Yeah.
You know, by doing it that way. You know, but there's always ways around things, you know.
Some fixes are not that complicated.
Yeah, and, you know, eventually he may have an issue with, you know, interior lights coming on when he's not expecting them that, because sometimes they'll use the same sensor. But, you know, it's just one of those things you just have to keep an eye on. If he can get around it that way, then, hey, more power to him. But just wanted to mention that, hey, we've been steadily getting new cars in, new SUVs, new, you know, mostly SUVs. You know, we've got the new Blazer in, we got new Tahoes, Suburbans, and of course Equinoxes and that. You know, the Blazer is a really neat little vehicle, very sporty looking little SUV.
Is it a downsized Blazer? It's not the old big Blazer like we used to see.
No, it's smaller. It's between the Traverse and the Equinox.
Okay, so that's a good town car.
Yeah, it's a very good little vehicle. You know, been very popular. We've got a really good selection of them. So, you know, if you need to get out to UJ Chevrolet and take a look and see what they got, I'm sure they'd be willing to make you a great deal on them.
Sure.
Yep. You know, it's they've been keeping those running, trying to keep them all out on the front line, trying to have that good selection out there for them.
Sell them as fast as you can get them in, probably.
Yeah, we sell a lot of vehicles. I tell you, it's a whole different chore just trying to keep those done and ready to go out online. You know, cause when you sell, you know.
Any date for the new Corvette yet?
I believe they start making it in November. So it's
what is that going to be called?
Well, You know, I don't know.
Is it a C7 or anything like that?
It's the, well, it's the new generation, and don't make me lie to you is which one it is, but it's the newest generation mid-engine Corvette.
Oh, that's right, mid-engine. Yeah, Panatera type.
Yep, it's a really neat-looking car from the things I've seen.
That'll be a handling sucker.
It's going to be a little hot rod, no doubt.
Yes, sir.
And for what you're getting, you cannot buy a better handling performing car for the price.
Nope.
You know, they're keeping the price point down.
So that could be somebody's Christmas present?
You better make a deal now. Because I think we were allotted three, and we've sold all three of them already. And they don't even start building them until November.
Wow.
So if you want one, you're going to be in the next wave.
There you go.
You know, it's going to be interesting.
You'll be in December build.
Yeah, it's going to be a while getting yours. But it's you know, I'm sure we'll have a few of them around to show off a little bit before we deliver. You know, because it's you know, we got to keep them around and show off a little bit. You know,
yep. And
but yeah, they're a neat car. You know, it's I don't know. You know, one of the things that they were saying, they were bragging about, they were able to keep the price point down, but they only had one component out of the last generation Corvette that is the same on this Corvette.
Really?
You know, one component.
All, of bunch of new
mechanical
stuff.
Part. It's all new car. So
that's awesome, man. I'll tell you.
It's not robbing a bunch of stuff off the last versions. And I think it's one of the inside door handles. And I think is the same or something.
So this will be what, the seventh frame in the Corvette history?
This will be, I think, the eighth, if I remember right, the eighth generation of the Corvette. You know, they're starting back in 1953.
Oh, so yeah. And
they've been around a while.
We got the big pancake breakfast over at Ed's this Saturday morning. Guys, we need you to come help us and get these guys out in the Atlantic Ocean and let them row.
Yep.
It's Seafood Shed Saturday morning, 8 o'clock to 11, $10 donation, pancakes, sausage, and a drink. And for all of our bets, God bless you all. If it wasn't for you, we wouldn't be here. Hoorah.
Yep. And thanks for listening to the Car Doctor Show. We'll be back next week.
School is now closed.